Right, it's we're looking at a multitude of responses to coronavirus, and it is it's time to have a conversation around workplace and what happens there. You know, loads of people asking in the light of the president saying gatherings of more than 100 people. What about work? Elsewhere in the world, they're down to 25. They're down to 10. In fact, in the U.S., gatherings of more than 10 in certain states are being discouraged. So it gives you an idea, you know, it's just depending on the level of infection and the rate of transmission, the responses are a lot more severe than what we're seeing in this country at the moment. So I figured I'd put a whole bunch of questions to Becky Nhlapo, who is a senior associate in the employment practice at Cliffdecker Hofmeyr, a very well-known law firm in this country. Becky, good morning. Thanks so much for your time.
Morning, how's it, man?
Thanks so much for your time. I don't know how it is. I'm still trying to figure this one out, sort of day by day. I suppose let's start with, you know, people trying to maybe not use as an excuse, but have concerns around the fact that more than 100 people in one place is problematic, yet they've got to walk into a work environment where they're definitely more than 100 people. How does that stack up against sort of best practice, labor law, and the spirit of trying to nip this thing in the bud?
Thanks for that. I think the starting point is to understand the purpose of the president's call, which was to limit the gathering of around 100 people. And now the reference to a gathering has a history from the Regulations of Gatherings Act, and there the minimum is 15 people. But I understand your question to be whether a workplace scenario would constitute a gathering. And it seems to be our view that it doesn't seem to fit in within Ramaphosa's call or the president's call, because when you look at the silence from the president's call insofar as the workplace is concerned, and also looking at the law, the workplace doesn't seem to really fall under this prohibited gathering.
Yeah.
So there is no call to say, look, if you have an employer and you have 100 people, you should then maybe take one employee, you know, on leave so that you have 99 people, so that we can comply with Ramaphosa's call.
Mm-hmm.
So that they from Ramaphosa's call, that doesn't seem to be the understanding.
It would, I suppose, simply put, if one understands then the definition you've given of gathering, it could apply to something like, let's say, a wedding or a sports event or some kind of social event, to dance in a hall somewhere. That would be a gathering of more than 100 people.
Yes, definitely. So the underlying definition is more in the public spaces, although, you know, in a private space, you can still say, well, it is still a gathering. But we must not lose sight of the purpose of the call.
Yeah.
The purpose of the call is to curb the spreading of the virus. And whether you gather in numbers of 100 or 99 or 80, the fact is measures must be taken to curb the spread of the virus. So I think, you know, it is for the parties to take those means, such as, you know, wearing masks, keeping the distance, and all sort of measures that Ramaphosa mentioned on Sunday.
Give me an idea, if you don't mind, Becky, just around what employers should be doing, either as required by law or perhaps as good or best practice to ensure that their staff remain safe, and especially in environments where you've got frontline staff dealing with members of the public. What needs to be happening in the coming days to keep staff safe?
So I think what's important is that the obligation to keep staff safe doesn't arise, you know, it didn't start because of the coronavirus. It has been there by law, you know, in terms of the Occupational Health and Safety Act, where there must be a reasonable measure taken by employers. So, for example, employers, in fact, my view would be employers who can afford for employees to work at home. That should be the preferred way to approach to adopt. Where you cannot afford to do so, you must have means such as encouraging hygiene, encouraging less contact, you know, scheduling meetings to be remote. So there must be steps that employers must take. So, however, those steps does not include, you know, saying I'm going to shut down my business and then everyone must work from home. No, it does not include that. So steps such as, you know, your employees sort of practicing good hygiene, less contact with clients, those steps, you know, didn't start because of the coronavirus, have been in place. So just that now we need more to see more of that to be taking place.
I'm hearing more and more accounts, they're coming through on our WhatsApp line in the main, of people saying businesses are struggling. They've needed to survive load shedding and loss of production and so on. And now this coronavirus scare, orders have been cancelled or imports, exports being affected. People have gone on immediate short time. People have gone, in fact, some people have been terminated because there's just no income and the business is on the verge of closing. A lot of that without any kind of consultation in the way that would have happened in the past. What's the onus on employers and what are the rights of the employees just to try and protect themselves against being terminated summarily?
Yeah. So, you know, the obligation really is simply on the employer, right, to ensure that if they can avert and the risk of closing down the business, those are the steps that they should take. However, I think the big question is, you know, if the employer instructs me to go sit at home, would I be entitled to my salary? I think that's the big question.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously, you know, normally the obligation arising from the employment contract would be if I'm available to tender my services as an employee and the employer instructs me to sit at home, I am entitled to a salary. However, the coronavirus cannot be at the fault of the employer, and therefore instructing an employee to sit at home would not be by choice from the employer's side. So it would be beyond the employer's control, in which case the employer would in law be justified if it does not pay the employee. But most importantly, if the employer would say, well, you know, by instructing my employees to stay at home, I'll be complying with the law in ensuring that their health and safety is protected. So in those circumstances, an employer would be entitled to justify why it's not paying its employee. However, and your initial question was, whether is this summary termination?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that this would not really lead to a termination of employment. This is just a, you know, you would call it a temporary suspension of employment, right? Because once the virus passes, then you'll see a lot of employees going back to work, business going back to normal. They would not really constitute a termination unless the business really closed down, in which case, you know, that's going to be a question of liquidation or restructuring, in which case then would have to lead to a termination. But we do not foresee this coronavirus leading to a termination. There will be a lot of suspension of services for the time being, which will be temporary, but not maybe termination of employment.
Are we likely to see almost an adaptation of the way in which leave is applied? And I ask because I saw something yesterday. Macro put out some correspondence, and I've not seen any other company do this. They're saying that they'll grant special paid leave to pregnant employees to reduce the risk of infection on their unborn children. I mean, that is a massive departure from how things normally would be, but it's brought about by a rather unique set of circumstances. Are we likely to see these kinds of things become almost par for the course, where companies will adapt existing policies to say, well, we can't expect you to use your annual leave, we can't expect this to come out of your sick leave, but what we can do is just place you on paid leave. We're a big enough company to do this for your well-being.
Yeah. Look, if businesses can afford that, if employers can afford that, by all means, they should adopt those sort of steps. However, you know, employees remain protected under the Occupational Health and Safety Act, and employees remain protected under, you know, the sick leave provisions in a sense that if one were to say I've contracted the virus, then we would have to, the employers would have to exhaust the sick leave provision, unpaid sick leave provision, and possibly to offer an annual leave. You know, but look, the economy has not been doing well, and there is really no expectation to grant those special leaves. Although it's a good measure from macro, as you say, but there is no expectation in law. So they would not, you know, employees would not be entitled to apply for that special leave because it's not a right in law.
Okay, I'm going to park it there. I'm sure we've got loads more questions, and perhaps we can revisit in the coming days, and chances are we might have to. But thanks very much for your time. Becky Nhlapo, Senior Associate in the Employment Practice at Cliftecker Hofmeyr. Hopefully that answers some of your burning questions. I've tried picking up the ones that come through most often on our WhatsApp line. Just keep on sending them through, and you know, between myself and the O'Connor Drive and a few of the other presenters, we'll keep chipping away at this one for you.
As a business, would